Christian. There's a famous British author and preacher, and she ministered with her husband in America, in Central America, in central part of the United States, for many, many decades. Her name is Jill Briscoe, and she tells of a visit to a funeral home, and she was going with the grieving widow, and they were standing beside an open coffin where the husband was lying, waiting to be buried. And out of the corner of her eye, Jill saw a member of the church coming towards them, and she thought to herself, here comes trouble. This woman approaching the casket believed that all Christians at all times should never be sad and should never weep, that they should always be upbeat and happy, that they should predictably be joyful because they know Jesus. And so this dear lady comes up and starts to comfort the grieving widow with words about thinking positive and keeping your chin up and be, plastic. That's what I call it. You know, be plastic no matter what you're feeling inside. Just let everybody know you're victorious, thank you. And the widow looks at her and says, well, if we're not supposed to grieve and cry at a funeral, how come Jesus wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus? And I'm thinking, good for you, sweetie. And at that tense moment where these two Christian women are comforting each other or confronting each other, Jill, and you'd have to know her, I've met her, she has the most wonderful, dry, British sense of humor. Jill, in all of her British wit, says, well, obviously, honey, Jesus isn't a very good Christian. Because he wept. And I was thinking about that. Jesus, not a very good Christian. And I thought, come to think of it, he really wasn't. He wasn't a very good Christian at all, at least by our definition of Christian. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If Christian means someone who is respectable, presentable, well-mannered, well-meaning, and well-wishing. Because Jesus was none of those things. Jesus was not a good Christian. If by Christian you mean someone who moves in step with the authority, does exactly what he says and is told to do, Jesus never did that. So he would not make a very good Christian. Jesus was not a very good Christian if by good Christian you mean the business of getting more things, you know, the gospel of increasing our living standards instead of increasing our loving standards. Jesus was not a good Christian if by good Christian you mean the sort of person who's always snooping around to see if people are enjoying themselves and then trying to stop it. You know, no partying here. This is a church. Wipe that smile off your face. Suck it up. Look like you got baptized in lemon juice. I had coffee this morning with somebody. And he was the most refreshing Christian I have sat with in a long time. Currently, he's not going to any church, so that was one of the reasons we were meeting. But he was one of the most refreshing people I have ever met. He was just alive and so non-Christian. And he definitely was not baptized in lemon juice. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean disciples of the doctrines of Jesus, not disciples of Jesus. Listen, folks, a lot of you are followers of the book. This has become God to many of us. This is a book about God, by God. He's the author. But we don't worship that book. We worship Jesus. We don't follow that book. We follow Jesus. Now, if he uses the book to lead you, great. Many of us are obeying and living by our interpretation of this book. And your interpretation isn't his. And Jesus just did not live that way, so he's not a good Christian. In fact, he didn't read it. Jesus was not a very good Christian if by good Christian you mean somebody who tries to save the standing order of the the way things are done today, rather than creating an alternative order of reality. We've just accepted reality. Or as Anne just said, you know, you look around, you see pews and a carpet, and you see the physical reality. There's another reality. And we're supposed to be living in it because we got translated out of this reality and into the kingdom of God. And Jesus didn't live in his current reality. He lived in the kingdom reality. Which doesn't make you a very good Christian. Jesus wasn't a good Christian if by a good Christian you mean somebody being a winner and always victorious in the eyes of the world and at the expense of somebody else. In Jesus' economy, if you couldn't be a win-win, you just didn't do it. There was never a win-lose. Jesus was not a very good Christian if by good Christian you mean somebody who's always comparing themselves to others. Listen, I'm doing better than the drunk down the street. I'm not near as bad as that person over there with all the tattoos. You know what happens when you compare yourself to other people? One of two things. If you're better than they are, at least in your own mind, you get proud. And God resists the proud. So you just find yourself in trouble. Or if you're not as good as the person you're comparing yourself to, you get depressed. So stop comparing. Jesus never did. He never compared himself to anybody. You're not a good Christian, and Jesus wasn't a good Christian, if by good Christian you mean having a gravy train for professional clergy. If you're sitting there and you're putting your money in the offering plate on a church whenever and wherever you go to church because you're paying the guy up front, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus believed that everybody was a priest and everybody was part of the priesthood of all believers. And that you're not here to support the guy up front who has the ministry. The guy up front who has the ministry is here to support you to get you in ministry. Amen. And it's different. Amen. Jesus was not a very good Christian if by good Christian you mean someone who has the right friends and keeps the right company. Jesus hung out with the wrong people. He was not part of the in crowd. He was always with the sinners. He wasn't with the pious and the righteous and the hypocrites. They all watched from the wings and criticized him all the time. So are we relating to and mixing with the sinners, or are we just sitting back and criticizing those who do? I walk in on a regular basis into the Love Shop in Regina. You should try it sometime. There are unsaved people who are in the Love Shop. Where would Jesus go if he walked up Broad Street in Regina into the Love Shop? But first he'd stop at the Rainbow Club, which used to be Bethel Pentecostal Church and is now the gay club of the universe here. But when he got to the Love Shop, he would go in because there's unsaved people. I went in one day. I go in a lot, actually, because I know the guy behind the counter. And then somebody saw me go in. Boy, you want your reputation to go down the toilet. Listen to the flush. It's happening. They never came to me and said, why did you go in? Which probably I would say none of your business, just to be a nuisance. But you know, Jesus hung around with sinners. And in reality, at Calvary, he hung between two sinners. He didn't hang with the good people. He hung with the people who needed God. Amen? Jesus wasn't a good Christian if by good Christian you mean someone who has a problem or an issue with sin. Sin did not bother Jesus. Now, what sends you to heaven? How do you get into heaven? Not a trick question. How do you get into heaven? You got to know Jesus. Have a personal relationship with Jesus. Be forgiven of your sin. What sends you to hell? Not knowing Jesus. Sin does not send you to hell. That's why Jesus doesn't have a problem with sin. John 3:18 says, you go to hell because you do not believe in the one that was sent. That is on the name of Jesus. So sin doesn't send you to hell. Jesus doesn't have a problem with sin. He doesn't. You have a problem with sin. Not your own, everybody else's. Did I say that out loud? Jesus was not a good Christian, if by good Christian you mean somebody who's always wanting more, bigger, and better. Amen? People say to me, so how many people go to your church? What are they doing? They're figuring out how successful you are by how big your church is. Because more, bigger, and better is more spiritual. Oh, really? I know a little church in Climax, Saskatchewan. It's a church of God, Pentecostal church. Never had more than 48 people attended, ever. They have sent 108 people on a mission field, full-time, permanent. Wow. Tell me who's successful.
Awesome.
I'd rather have that church in my backyard than some church that collected 10,000 people and they're warming a pew and sitting on their... You know, when you want bigger, better, and best, you have a problem. I was reading my Bible one day, and Paul said, you know, I went without, and I was in trouble, and I was in the waters, and I was happy. I was content. And I thought, oh, okay. And God said, so which tent do you live in? Are you content, or are you discontent? Which tent are you in? If you're living in discontent, you're not living with God, because God would have you content regardless of what situation you're in. Jesus was not a very good Christian, if you mean by that someone who hears the voice of God, but the voice of God is really an echo of their own voice, or an echo of their culture, or an echo of their tradition, or an echo of their religious upbringing. Jesus was not a very good Christian, if by good Christian you mean somebody who fits into the culture. You know that Jesus never wanted us to be a subculture? You know, living like everybody else in the culture, except we have Christian values and Christian morals. Not that anybody knows it, but we have Christian values and Christian... Do you know statistically we're no different than the world? There's one statistic where we watch the same television programs, we listen to the same radio stations, we listen to the same music, we speak the same way. We're no different. There's one thing that we're different in. We get divorced more often than the non-believers. We are a subculture. We are the same as everybody else with a Christian veneer. Jesus never wanted a subculture. He was a counterculture. He wanted to look at that culture and turn it upside down. I love the verse in Acts where three guys are trudging down a dirt road. They're exhausted. They're Christians. They're disciples of Jesus. And the people in the city go into a riot because somebody saw them coming and says, oh, all those people who turned the world upside down, they're coming, they're coming. A whole city gets upset because three dirty-looking guys are walking down a dirt road. Because they were turning the culture upside down. They were a counterculture. Jesus has no interest in our culture. He wants to turn it upside down. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian, you mean predictable approach to life and religion and prayer and church. Jesus was the most unpredictable person you have ever met. He would not do anything the way you expected him to do it. And that's what makes him exciting. Jesus, and he sang it, Jesus said, you cannot tell where the wind comes from or where it's going. So is it that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You're unpredictable. Can you predict which way the wind's going to blow in next week and what it's going to do? No. Well, then you shouldn't be predictable either. But we're the most predictable group of people you've ever met. Boring. Jesus was not a very good Christian, if by good Christian you mean someone who never gets angry or gets upset. Jesus was the enfant terrible in the temple. He got seriously ticked and got really angry, and it wasn't righteous anger, it was anger. It's okay to get angry, just don't let the sun go down on your anger. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean somebody who constantly shares everything that God is doing in his life and God is showing them and God is telling them and God is speaking to them about. God can tell you things you don't need to share with people. Who are you out to impress? You're boasting. You're drawing attention to yourself. Whoopee, you can hear Jesus. We all can hear Jesus. And we don't need to know what he's always saying to you. Could you not live one day without a vision? One day without a dream that's from God? Jesus did. He wasn't impressed. Are you hearing me? If Jesus did some miracle, he didn't always want people to go out and talk about it. Did you notice that? Yes. He actually said to them, shh, don't tell anybody.
That's right.
Just go home.
Yep.
So why are we always broadcasting everything that he does through us? Well, because we're proud and we're boastful and we're arrogant and we want people to think we're spiritual. That doesn't make a good Christian. Aren't you glad I came tonight? Jesus was not a good Christian. If by good Christian you mean holding people back from ministering until they've gone through discipleship training, they understand the vision of the local church, they're serious and mature in the faith, and because if they're not, then you're an irresponsible leader. Jesus frees the Gadarene demoniac. All these demons leave, go into the pigs all go into the sea, and the demoniac says to Jesus, can I come with you? And Jesus said, no, you go to the Decapolis and tell everybody what's happened to you. Where was he sending them? To a valley that had 10 cities. He is sending a 2-minute-old Christian believer who just got freed from a whole pile of demons to go into 10 cities and be an evangelist. Excuse me. Sit down. We need to teach you. You need to mature. You need to learn to pray. You need to learn to work. You need to tithe. You need to be discipled and trained and equipped and become mature, proven. Gee, not a very good Christian. Neither was Philip. Philip got an Ethiopian eunuch saved. What did the Ethiopian eunuch know? Nothing. So he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said to Philip, do you understand this and who is this referring to? So he gets led to the Lord, gets baptized in water, and Philip gets translated. God actually took Philip in the spirit realm, moved him into Ashdod.
Yeah.
So this guy comes out of the water and Philip's missing. And he goes back to Ethiopia. If you study the history of Ethiopia, it became a Christian nation with one guy who didn't even have Mark's gospel. He had a piece of the prophet Isaiah and Jesus. But no, we got to go through discipleship and training and equipping. And Jesus didn't make a very good Christian. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean somebody who strives to be labeled as a Christian or labeled as good. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's nobody good except the Father. But we work so hard appearing Christian, appearing good, appearing righteous, appearing whatever it is. We literally worry too much about what people will think about us.
Yes, we do.
And you'd be amazed how seldom they think about you. And who cares what they think? Amen? Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean sitting in a church pew, absorbing inordinate amounts of information and material without ever changing your life or applying what you're learning. So all you become is one big fat sheep. That's not a good Christian. Jesus knew that you only truly believe what you apply.
That's true.
So if you're not living what you're taught, you don't believe it.
That's right. Come on.
And we're taught way beyond our living level. We're taught way beyond our obedience level.
Yes.
Jesus understood that the first two letters of God spell go.
That's right.
And the first three letters of Satan spell sat. And the Christian sat. And we were meant to go. Apply what you learned. Go do it.
Yes.
And that's why Jesus kept sending people out. Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean measuring success by the numbers of people you minister to and the number of people attending. Because Jesus preached messages that turned whole multitudes away. He was preaching to a multitude. By the way, the Bible uses the word multitude when there's so many people you can't count them. And when he was finished preaching, he had 12 left. That's really bad. That's not good preaching. You're never going to build a church, Jesus. You really need a PR firm. You really need to get a different image here. See, we think we're successful because we're attracting large numbers. No, that doesn't make us successful. We think we're successful because, wow, you go to 17 nations. You sit in lots of airports and drink lots of awful coffee. No. Hey, Jesus ministered in a 25-mile radius. That was it. And he walked all of it. So we're measuring success the wrong way. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Jesus was not a very good Christian. If by good Christian you mean finding your identity, your value, and your worth in your ministry. You find your value, your identity, and your sense of worth in your relationship with Jesus. He found his in his relationship with his heavenly Father. Where do you find your value? Where do you find your worth? We seem to find it, and I talk to Christians all the time, in our ministry, because that's all we talk about. Well, I had this vision, and I prophesied over that person, and I prayed for that person, and they got healed, and I went to Winnipeg, and I did this, and I did that. Oh, and who are you? You're a ministry machine. No, you're created in God's image, and if you don't know who you are, you shouldn't be doing any ministry. So really, Jesus wasn't a good Christian. He was also not a good Christian because he had bad habits. Bad habit number one. He spit. In Jesus' day, spitting was obnoxious. It was gross. It was an insult to the person who would see you spit. It was rude to spit in front of somebody. It was even ruder to spit at them. And even ruder to put mud with your spit and rub it on people's eyes. So Jesus took an obnoxious act and turned it into a blessing and a healing.
Yes.
He had a really bad habit. Jesus wasn't a good Christian because he procrastinated. Another bad habit. He's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and he stops, procrastinates. He's busy talking to this lady who needs a healing, and he's forgotten about the girl. So by the time he gets to Jairus' house, the girl's dead. What are you procrastinating for? Jesus, come and heal your friend Lazarus. He's sick. 4 days later, he shows up. Must have passed a coffee shop. He procrastinated. That's not a good Christian. That's a bad habit. Amen? Maybe Jesus just wasn't aware of time. You know, my wife never wears a watch. She never knows what day it is, let alone what time it is. So I was thinking about that. Maybe Jesus was just not aware of time. Maybe he couldn't tell time. Maybe Jesus couldn't tell time, didn't tell time, because he created time. Third bad habit, he was wasteful. Waste not, want not. When I was growing up, we used to have to eat everything that was placed in front of us. My father would tell us, you know, there were kids in Africa starving. So one night I said to him, so package it up and send it to them. That is not what you say to your father. On Friday nights, we used to have, you got to grab this. On Friday nights, we would eat spinach with a poached egg on top. And I would sit and stare at it and not eat it. But if you didn't eat what was put in front of you, you didn't eat anything else either. You couldn't have a peanut butter sandwich. So I got up for the next morning for breakfast, and it was sitting there in front of me where I sat at the table. And I said, I'm having breakfast. And my father said, no, you're having that. And I said, it's cold. He said, it's hot lunch. So I didn't eat it. So for lunch, there was this cold spinach and it was supposed to stay. I didn't eat it. For supper. Jesus wasn't like that. I did eat it at supper, by the way. And there were no microwaves back then either, so that's how old I am. Jesus blessed the food, fed 5,000. Wasteful. He had 12 extra basketfuls. I wonder where that went and what food bank that went to. None. They were out in the field. He was wasteful. A woman anoints him with a jar of expensive oil that could have fed the poor for months. Wasteful. 5 huge pots of water, 30 gallons in a pot. And he turns it all into the best wine in the wedding. And when everybody was already well lubricated. Boy, bad habit. Amen? Not a good leader. Speaking about alcohol, he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard.
Yes, he was.
He probably went into the love shop. Bible says the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What an insult. No, what a compliment.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus had a bad habit of constantly disappearing when you needed him. There's a boy with a demon, and the demon's throwing the kid into the water and into a fire trying to kill him. Where's Jesus when you need him? Well, he's up a mountain praying. The disciples are unable to cast the demon out. They just aren't successful. And the boy's being destroyed. Where is Jesus? He's gone. The boat is sinking. There's a huge storm. All these fishermen, seasoned fishermen, are frightened to death. Where's Jesus? Oh, he's asleep. In the back of the boat. You're not bothered by any of this. Jesus says to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, go into all the world. Go, 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 go. Preach. Heal. Speak in tongues. Cast out demons. Go, go, go. And where's Jesus? Oh, he ascends into heaven. I mean, where is Jesus when you need him? Bad habit. Constantly disappearing. Going up the mountain to pray. You know why he does that? That's like taking your training wheels off.
Yes, right.
Because if he stuck around, you'd be depending on him.
Yep.
Go learn how to do it.
Yes. So good.
Jesus did not follow up and chase potential converts. Bad habit. Rich young ruler comes to him, isn't able to sell everything and give it to the poor. It's interesting. That kid would know the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs says, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay. So Jesus was literally saying, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and God will pay you back with interest. And he couldn't do it. So the rich young ruler walks away. And Jesus didn't chase him, saying, oh, wait a minute, we're having a pork barbecue tomorrow night. I'll invite you. He just let him go.
Yeah, he did.
Boy, that's really a bad habit. He offended people on purpose. And made people feel really uncomfortable. You know, build a large church, multitudes are coming, speak about eating my flesh, drinking my blood, boom, you're down to 12. And they're not even sure. They'd go somewhere else if they knew where to go. He offended them because he spoke the truth in love.
Yes, he did.
That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. You should try it sometime. Jesus treated outsiders like they were insiders, and he treated insiders like the rulers and the religious leaders like they were outsiders.
Yeah.
Boy, talk about offending your audience. He made comments that made people feel really uncomfortable. You know, like, if you don't have any sin, go ahead, throw the stone. Bad habit. Jesus had another bad habit, number 8. He never answered a question.
Nope.
Never. Read your Bible. If you asked him a question, He answered a question by asking you a question.
Yeah.
He'd turn it around every time. He asked people questions they couldn't even answer. He wanted them to go home and think about it. He asked questions that made people look deep inside, and many were not willing to face the answers they found inside. Bad habit. He made you think of yourself, for yourself, and make your own decisions. Try that one in a religious church, where the guy up front makes your decisions for you, tells you how to live, what to do, where to go, how come you're doing it. Jesus didn't do any of that. He didn't try to control people, manipulate people. He made you think and then make decisions for yourself. So he turned life into stories, we call them parables, and then never told the people what the stories meant. Bad teacher. What was he doing? He was teaching you in such a way that in your heart, things would pop up and surprise you. And you would discover things for yourself. And you'd have this authentic revelation of truth that somebody didn't push into your brain from the outside. It popped up as a revelation on the inside. Bad habit. If we were to do that, we'd have to slow down the amount of information we give you. And then we'd have to infuse an element of participation. You'd have to get involved. And then we'd have to give you the right to have honest doubts about what it is we believe. And then we'd ask you to apply what you learned. Isn't that so different? You know, you have a doubt. Yes, I doubt lots of things. As long as you're thinking the doubt and it hasn't gone into your heart, it's good. Doubts are good. Jesus isn't bothered by doubts. So our whole system is wrong. We are teaching people what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it. Wouldn't they decide for themselves? Thank you. I'm an adult. I can do this, I think. Number 10. The 10th bad habit was Jesus loved to party. With the wrong people. He loved to party. The religious people thought he was a party animal. He'd be eating and drinking and with all those people that weren't nice. But he influenced his culture. He changed his world. And today we're missing tremendous golden opportunities to touch people's lives because we don't want to go there. That's a bar. That's a tattoo shop. I go to tattoo shops. My friend Rick had a tattoo shop before he moved to California. And people would be lying on a table getting a tattoo on their butt. They paid $400 for the tattoo. So I'd pull up a chair, sit at their head, talk about Jesus. They're not leaving. They paid $400 for this 3 hours. They're halfway through a tattoo. See, you're laughing, because you wouldn't think of doing that. I ran a Bible study in that tattoo shop. We had a BYOB, bring your own booze. Now, I'm a recovered alcoholic, I don't drink. But they all came with their booze. And I was a BYOB, bring your own Bibles. I bought lots of Bibles, because they're all identical. Because if I said to them, turn to Romans chapter 3, they would look at me and wonder where I was going. But if I could tell them all to turn to page 642, then they would find it.
Yes.
So we had a Bible study every week in a tattoo shop. And everybody drank. It was a party. I have a house church. It's boring. It's dead. I'd like to leave. It's my house. Serious? What are you laughing at? It's terrible. So, I have a dog and we walk a lot because I pray and walk with my dog and he listens and he's wonderful. He's cute and smart. And so everybody else has dogs. So everybody knows everybody's dog. I know every dog's name all the way down the street. Now, I've lived on the street the longest of anybody. I've been there 43 years. And so the whole street has recycled three times, or two times. So now we're on the third set of young couples with kids. We've gone through teenagers three times, right? So we have all these new people, and they all know me and my dog. Well, at least they know the dog's name. They don't probably know mine. So my plan is that by the middle of next month, when it warms up, we're going to buy a couple cases of cold beer. We're going to stick them in my backyard where I have a fire pit, and I'm going to invite a dozen young men to just come and hang out and have a beer. I don't drink. I'm an alcoholic. And eventually, they will find out that I'm a Christian, and we'll talk about the Bible. But just to start, we're just going to get to know each other, and we're going to hang out and have a party. Because that's what they do every Friday and Saturday night. They keep me awake doing it. So why not do it in my own yard? Maybe they'll go home earlier. Bad habit. Bad habit. Maybe we should just learn how to belly up to the bar. A salad bar. Bad habit number 11. Jesus ate gluten. And he encouraged other people to eat gluten. Jesus had a bad habit number 12. He loved tax collectors. Don't you just love Revenue Canada? I have 5 phone messages on my phone, all of them from Revenue Canada as I was driving here. I'm in trouble, probably. Jesus hung out with people from other religions. I mean, at his birth even, he had the wise men showed up. They didn't worship God. They were from Babylon. They were devil worshippers. They belonged to a faith called Zoroastrianism. He invited himself to people's homes without being invited. Not only did he invite himself to people's homes, he brought friends with him. There's a bad habit for you. That'll get you blacklisted. Jesus was dangerous. Did you know that? As an infant, he spooked a king. The king got really upset that there was another king. As a child, he shocked the theologians in the temple. As an adult, he confounded the powers that be. The Roman Empire was shaking, startled everybody. He had the bad habit of coming across seriously dangerous, dangerously unrealistic. Jesus had a bad habit of, at times, just seriously not being nice. And we're so nice, aren't we? Us Christians. He spoke the truth in love. And that simply is not nice at times. And when you speak the truth in love, it makes you face who you really are. And that, at times, is not nice. And he would tell you what you should be doing. And at times, that's not nice. You see, we belong to Christianity, not Nicianity. We're trying to be too nice. Too nice. He had another bad habit. He wasn't religious. Jesus was not religious. Isn't that amazing? He was dangerous to religion. He hated the religious establishment. He taught faith, not religion. You know, we are often so filled up with religion and all of the trappings, there isn't room for the impouring of God's presence or the outpouring of God's power. I'll say that again. We are often so filled with religious stuff that there's no room for God to pour in his presence or for the power of God to pour out from you into the world. I left a denomination after being a priest for 6 years, going through their seminary for 3 years. I went in a normal person, came out a priest. I went in knowing nothing, I came out knowing nothing, but that was okay as a priest. I left that system on February the 1st, 1980. On February the 1st, 1990, 10 years later, my wife said, one day she walked into my office and she said, "Well, it's happened." I had no idea what she was talking about. She's very intuitive. She just leaps from one topic to another. You know, what planet are you on today? So she came into my office and she said, "Well, it's finally happened." And I looked at her and I said, "What has finally happened?" And she said, "Well, 10 years ago today, God took us out of Egypt. And finally, God's got Egypt out of you." It took 10 years to deprogram me. so that God can pour his presence in and his power out. You've got more religious bones in your body than you think. If you've been attending any kind of religious, kind of traditional church, you have religion in you. And you need to deal with it. Number 18, another bad habit. He had a lot of bad habits. He hung out with bad people. He hung out with prostitutes, demon-possessed people, drunkards, gluttons. Not only did he hang out with them, he went looking for them. When was the last time he went looking for a prostitute? I mean, for the right reason. Come on, brain guys, clean it up. So I have this young fella in Columbus, who I've met once, prophesied over, said, you need to come to overseas with me, he's coming. I've only known him for 6 weeks. He's already coming overseas in June. He wrote me the other day and he said, we've been ministering downtown in Columbus in the tough district for a long time now from the Bible school for a whole year. He's been going down every week. He said, I got my first person saved. And they're really saved. I mean, seriously saved. They repented. So I wrote back and said, oh, who is it? Tell me the history. It's a prostitute. He went looking. And every time he's been down there in that area, and I know the area, he went looking for this particular young lady. And just kept loving on her and talking to her about Jesus. And one day she was just in the right place at the right time and the Holy Spirit touched her. And like the girl at the retreat, she got saved. Do you go looking for the lost, the least, and the last? Or are you too busy at Culture Coffee having a nice latte? Because the least, the last, and the lost don't go there. Because coffee is $5.93.
How do you know
that? Because I had four of them today. We need to be out there looking for the unchurched and the de-churched. Do you know what a de-churched person is? That's a person who went to church and no longer does. I had coffee with one this morning. He said in an email to me before I got here, he said, church to me has been a very bad experience. It has been like a roller coaster ride that doesn't work and it fell off and it didn't refund my ticket price. He's unchurched. He's not going anywhere. He's a leader. He knows more Bible than most of us put together. But he's not going anywhere. We need to go find these people. Amen? Jesus had another bad habit. He surrounded himself with theological nitwits who had no idea, no theological training, and very little true Bible understanding. I mean, he walked with them for 3 years, talked about the kingdom from the very beginning. The first thing he ever said was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. What was the last thing they asked him before he ascended into heaven? So is the kingdom coming now? Excuse me, go back to day one. The kingdom is at hand. Yes, but is the kingdom coming now? Bad habit to surround yourself with a bunch of theological nitwits. Jesus had another bad habit. He spent too much time with children. In fact, he said that if you don't become like one, you can't enter the kingdom. And sometimes we're just too adult, too grown up. Amen? The older I get, I just turned 70, the older I get, my theology is getting more complex and complicated, but my faith is getting more childlike all the time. I understand better, I know more, I can confuse myself easily, but I believe real simple. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. 21st bad habit. You know, you need to read your Bible and discover the real Jesus. He broke every religious rule. He healed on the Sabbath. He ate without washing his hands. Oh, my mother would kill you. He ate with unclean people. He swiped fruit from somebody's farm without asking. That's called stealing. He treated women as equals. He spoke to people who are not Jews, the Samaritans. And he broke religion and cultural rules. Isn't that amazing? He was just a rule breaker. And you try to live by them all. Here's the worst one. Don't tell anybody. Jesus never went to church. He never went to church. Because there wasn't any. And you've never gone to church. Because you can't. Because you are the church. You can go to a church building or a building where the church assembles, but you are the church. But Jesus never went to church. And then Jesus never married, never settled down, never had a family. He was unstable. He wasn't steady in anything he did, and he wasn't a good member of any particular community. Boy, that blows all the rules. Jesus gave bad medical advice. He would tell you to fast for 40 days. And every doctor on the planet would tell you not to. He talked about politics and religion and did so over dinner every night. When I first came out west as a priest, I was told something very specific by my bishop. He said to me, there are two things you never talk about when you visit. Politics and religion. Jesus broke that rule because that's all he ever talked about. Bad habit. He had the bad habit of relating to women as if they were actually human beings and peers. Because in his culture, women were worse than cattle and not worth as much as cattle. And he treated them like equals. He had the bad habit of fixating on the little and ignoring the big. That's a bad habit. So he ignored the big people, the big details, and the big ideas. He ignored the movers and the shakers. He focused on the forsaken, the ignored, those who are of no consequence. He focused on the lame and the left behind. Let me tell you a little secret. This company is in every country of the world. Everywhere I go, you can buy Coke Zero or Diet Coke or regular Coke. Everywhere. In fact, Coke's slogan in every one of their national headquarters is think globally, act locally. That would be a good Christian logo or slogan. This is 99.8% sugar and water. It is 0.2% Coke syrup. They have built an empire on 0.2%. They focused on the little thing, the syrup, and built an empire. So Jesus did the same thing. He focused on the little things, the little people, and ignored all the big things. And he built a kingdom. So he talked about the mustard seed. That was an undesirable weed in your garden. He talked about the yeast in the loaf, the leaven in the dough. Last but not least, his last bad habit. He thought he was God. That'll get you in trouble. He thought he was God. So Jesus, my point is, he's not a very good Christian. And he had a heck of a lot of bad habits. And if you don't believe that, then you're not following the Bible Jesus. If your picture of Jesus is perfection and, you know, all-American boy Jesus, he's clean, he's got blonde hair, he's, you know, wonderful, his clothes are neat and tidy and ironed properly. And Jesus walked dirty streets filled with animal dung in bare feet or with sandals. He would be days between places where he could actually change clothes if he had clothes to change. He didn't have a place to stay most nights. I mean, our whole attitude of this prim and proper, organized, religious, everything together person is not Jesus. He's not a good Christian, and he had some seriously bad and annoying habits. But he is God, born as a man. And if he'll be lifted up, the real Jesus be lifted up, he will draw every person to himself. Because he will draw the broken and the bent and the lost and the last and the least. And all the people that we ignore, he will draw them. And if we'll just change the way we function, we'll stop pushing them away. Because that's what's happening. He's drawing them, and we're pushing them. So we need to change the Jesus we follow and the way we live. Every one of us, we're in a kingdom season in the world today. We need to discover afresh the real Jesus and remove the good old plastic Jesus that we hold so close to our heart. Listen, most of who you think Jesus is, you created. God created you in his image, and now you've created a God in your image. We create a God that says, the way you live, it's okay. There's your good housekeeping seal of approval. We created a God that doesn't correct us, doesn't chastise us, doesn't challenge us. And that God is simply not biblical and is very dangerous because it will lead you to hell. So we need to answer the question that Jesus asked Peter and the disciples. You ready for the question? Who do you say that I am? Who's the real Jesus? He's asking us that. And the answer is found in the Bible. If you will read it differently, if you will read it with your religious glasses taken off, if you will read it after praying, every time before you open the Bible, pray, God, I want the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation, to give me a revelation of who Jesus really is, the real Jesus. And you'll be amazed that the Jesus you think exists doesn't. Jesus is fully God, yet fully human, just like we are, but without sin. He's not a good Christian, and he has a number of really bad habits. And God, your Heavenly Father, would like you to copy the bad habits.
Yes, he would.
And stop being so darn good. We're not going to change people's lives. We're not going to recharge the church by good habits. We are going to have embrace these bad habits of Jesus and this unconventional approach, and that will change the church. You have to stop wondering what people think about you. You have to stop thinking about what other people might believe about you. And you just need to become real, radical, and revolutionary. Because when you read your Bible, Jesus was real. He was radical, and he was a revolutionary. He's not the calm, collected, and cool cucumber that you think he is. I'm just going to pray, but I'm going to pray that you make his bad habits your bad habits. I'm going to pray that all the religious bones in your body get broken, because you have lots more than you think. And that you would discover the real Jesus. And he is amazing. He's more than amazing. I got saved 40 years ago, 40 and a half years ago. And I've had to walk through a lot of changes in my life. But in the last 20 years, I have made a daily study of the real Jesus. If you were to look at the bookcase, one of the bookcases in my study, and my study is half the size of this room, and it's wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling books, there's a whole row of books. There's probably 60 of them, all about Jesus. The real Jesus, you know, it's just every book has a name of Jesus in it. And I've read every book written about him. I've gone through the history of him. I've read the Bible, I'm sure, 50 times since I started this study. And I'm just grabbing hold of how amazingly awesome and wonderful he really is. I mean, I knew it, but I'm grabbing it. I'm embracing it. And it's changing my life. Up to the point where I don't give a rip about anything but him. And I'm more in love with him now than I've ever been. And I was extremely in love with him the night I got saved. So trust me, it is more than extreme love. But it's all just because you need to sit down, take off these stupid religious glasses, break every religious bone in your body, throw out everything you think is right, and let the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself, reveal the truth to you. Amen?
Yes.
So bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your Son, the real Son,
the real Jesus. And I ask that you would help each one of us to remove the plastic Jesus, the religious Jesus, the traditional Jesus, the God that we've created in our own image, the one who justifies everything we do and says everything is fine when it's not, who ignores the sin in our lives and lets us continue to deceive ourselves. That's not the God that we are called to follow and to worship. So I pray tonight that you would break every religious bone in our body, that you would dig up by the roots every religious thought, every traditional understanding, anything that was planted in us over the years of our religious upbringings and the cultures that we live in and have lived in, and that you would just break it, burn it, stomp it to death so that we would be free. I ask that you would take Egypt out of us so that we would be finally free to enter into the true kingdom of the living God. I pray that you would help us to see the real Jesus in the Bible, to see that he was not what we think he is or who we think he is, and that we would begin to understand that he's not a good Christian as we define Christians. So help us to redefine what being a Christian is. Help us to be a biblical believer, not a cultural Christian. And then I ask that you would help us to adopt all 21 bad habits, except the last one, because we're not God. I just ask that you would turn our world upside down by turning our hearts right side up.
Yes, amen.
That we would be so empty of religion that you could fill us with your presence, your power, and your peace.
Yes.
And that that power would flow out from us. Help us to see the lost, as Anne prayed earlier, and see it the way you see the lost, the way you see it. Help us break our hearts with what breaks your heart, which is the lost going to hell. And help us to seek after the least, the last, and the lost, the de-churched. Help us to realize that many who attend churches are not saved. They think they are, but they're not. And I ask that you would burn that into us, the passion that we need, the passion for you that will take us out into your kingdom to represent the real Jesus and see the lost saved. I thank you that you're drawing them, and that as we lift the real Jesus up, you will draw more and more people to yourself. So help us. Help us to be real. Help us to be radical. Help us to be revolutionary. Help us to face ourselves and make all the changes that need to be made. And there are many. And help us to no longer deceive ourselves, but that we would speak the truth in love to ourselves. And that we would be changed from the inside out. So we do what Romans 12 says to do. We place ourselves on the altar, a living sacrifice. Help us not to crawl off the altar. And help us to make you Lord every day. Lord of every day. Lord of our lives every day. Not just Savior, but Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would change us every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our lives. So that we would more represent the real Jesus in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.